unsatisfied with the response of the Justice Department to a federal prosecutor in Boston found to have engaged in misconduct, the chief judge of the federal court in Boston has triggered an extraordinary disciplinary proceeding. As we've told you in the first of two parts in a series this week, a judge and a federal appeals court found that Assistant U.S. Attorney Jeffrey Auerhahn deliberately withheld evidence that might have cleared two defendants of guilt in connection to a murder. Despite the Supreme Court's direction that, quote, a criminal trial is a search for truth, some judges say withholding evidence is becoming an increasingly common tactic used by prosecutors across the country. In his third and final report, WBUR's David Boeri this morning looks at how the Department of Justice dealt with Jeffrey Auerhahn and how it's come to the point that federal judges here could suspend or even disbar him.
These allegations are serious allegations. We've acknowledged that to the court. In fact, we've asked for a complete investigation to get to the bottom of these allegations.
That was U.S. Attorney Michael Sullivan in October 2003. Federal Judge Mark Wolf had just released one man from prison, and he would later release another who was a mafia capo. With righteous anger, the judge said he had had no choice. The extreme misconduct of federal prosecutor Jeffrey Auerhahn had forced his decision. Wolf wanted to take action against Auerhahn, but the U.S. attorney approached the court,
asking the court not to impose any particular sanctions against the government until the matter was concluded.
U.S. Attorney Sullivan, who was Auerhahn's boss, referred the matter to the Justice Department's Office of Professional Responsibility, better known as the OPR. It's supposed to investigate complaints and allegations like those against Jeffrey Auerhahn.
That raises the question of whether the Department of Justice can investigate itself.
Well, of course it can't. It seems to me that's obvious.
Local criminal defense attorney Harvey Silverglade is also a civil liberties lawyer and the author of Three Felonies a Day, How the Feds Target the Innocent. He says that what Auerhahn is accused of doing is far more routine than the few high-profile cases of misconduct suggest, and how the government responds is equally routine, says Silverglade. Consider the Office of Professional Responsibility. It has no subpoena powers, seldom comes up with new facts, and works at a snail's pace. So dismal is the reputation of OPR that its critics call it the Roach Motel, because
cases go into the Roach Motel, but almost never emerge.
Some judges clearly don't trust the OPR to do anything. Consider the recent case of ex-Alaska Senator Ted Stevens. In 2008, Stevens was convicted of ethics violations, all felonies. Political observers say the conviction probably caused his loss in the election that soon followed. But a few months later, his conviction and indictment were thrown out. Prosecutors had intentionally withheld evidence and even dismissed a witness who might have cleared Stevens. Upon discovering this, the trial judge said he wasn't going to waste any more time dealing with OPR. So he appointed a special prosecutor to investigate all six federal prosecutors in the case for any criminal wrongdoing. Again, attorney Harvey Silverglade.
This is a rebellion by a minority of members of the judiciary who have seen enough.
Former U.S. Attorney Michael Sullivan says his office and the OPR acted responsibly and properly in the matter of Jeffrey Auerhahn. He says there is no growing problem of prosecutors who withhold exculpatory evidence from defendants.
It's statistically insignificant. The question becomes, is it inadvertent or is it intentional? Obviously, intentional discovery violations should be treated very harshly.
Told by Sullivan in 2003 that he would be informed of the outcome of the OPR investigation, Judge Wolf waited. And he waited. 3 years passed. By the end of 2006, he had heard nothing. Now he wrote to U.S. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez to find out what in the world was going on. In response, Judge Wolf got a letter back saying that OPR had actually taken action against Auerhahn 2 years earlier. OPR had concluded that Jeffrey Auerhahn had engaged in professional misconduct. But though the letter told Wolf that disciplinary action was taken against Auerhahn, it didn't tell him what the action was. Former U.S. Attorney Michael Sullivan.
I do know that OPR's findings and recommendations are considered confidential.
Even the judge had been kept out of the loop. Attorney Harvey Silverglate.
This is kind of like the story of the tree falls in the forest and nobody hears it. There really is no sound.
Through hard experience, Judge Wolf had become the four-square defender of rigorous standards and rules. He had worked at the highest levels of the Justice Department to clean it up after Watergate, and he had worked as a federal courtroom prosecutor here in Boston. He'd been appointed by Ronald Reagan, and he had become chief judge in the Federal Court of Massachusetts. He wasn't going to be brushed back now by the Justice Department or Alberto Gonzalez.
There's a special obligation by the chief judge to actually turn over the rocks and see what's crawling underneath the rocks.
Under one of those rocks was the OPR report that the government still hadn't provided. Wolf shot back at Gonzalez in a scathing letter of demand. He finally got the full report in May 2007, almost 2.5 years after OPR had come to a conclusion, and despite Sullivan's pledge back in 2003 to provide the court with the results of its investigation.
Had he not dragged the information out of them, it doesn't sound like he would have gotten it.
Former U.S. Attorney Michael Sullivan.
I can't say at this point in time, you know, who may have dropped the ball, because it could very well have been me that dropped the ball. Certainly it was not intentional.
4 years after the promise, Judge Wolf finally gets the envelope from OPR. He opens it up, and he finds that the punishment for Jeffrey Arahan was no more than a letter of reprimand from Michael Sullivan, a secret letter of reprimand stored confidentially in his file. To Harvey Silverglate, this is OPR as the Roach Motel, where nothing comes out.
It doesn't much matter if there's a private reprimand in a prosecutor's file, because nobody knows about it.
And OPR's actual finding, when he read it, was unacceptable to Wolf. Yes, OPR had concluded that Arahan had committed misconduct, but it found that the misconduct was merely reckless, rather than intentional and extreme, thereby putting what he had done in a more innocent light, a matter of, quote, poor judgment. The softer accusation also served to soften the range of penalties for Sullivan to choose from. And even as the OPR was sitting on its finding of misconduct and Judge Wolf went uninformed, assistants in the office of the U.S. attorney were in court trying to get Judge Wolf's ruling overturned after he released Vincent Ferrara, a defendant in the case that sparked it all. Their argument? That Jeffrey Arahan had not committed misconduct because he had no obligation to turn over crucial evidence to the defense. These were the two faces of the government. Arahan was secretly reprimanded, but publicly praised by U.S. Attorney Michael Sullivan before and after.
In situations like this, you cannot leave it to the Department of Justice to sort of police themselves.
That's the conclusion of attorney Bernard Grossberg, who defended one of the two men at trial. And it was the conclusion of Judge Mark Wolf, determined that Arahan be held accountable for misconduct and possible perjury. Wolf filed a complaint with the Office of Bar Counsel in Massachusetts in asking for an investigation. The judge wrote that the evidence against Arahan was more than sufficient to consider whether the federal prosecutor should be suspended or disbarred. For WBUR, I'm David Boeri.
Now for a little bit more on what's next in this story, WBUR's David Boeri joins us in the studio. David, thank you very much.
Good morning, Bob.
As you reported, David, Judge Wolf referred the matter to the Office of the Bar Council. Where are things now and what happens next?
So the Bar Council got the referral. And that was 2007. By the way, the Bar Council is an independent office. It investigates complaints against local lawyers, including, in this case, a federal attorney. So it conducted its own investigation. Then last summer, it submitted a petition to the federal court. It had found probable cause to discipline Arahan, it told the court. A federal judge agreed, and the disciplinary matter was then given to a 3-judge panel.
As I understand it, there's a deadline in the case today.
That's right. Arahan and the lawyers that represent Arahan have tried to have the case dismissed, but the 3-judge panel ruled against them. Then they asked both sides if they could reach an agreement on the facts of the case and present it by today.
Given all that, is it even remotely likely that that's going to happen?
Not even remotely likely, I think, because what the Bar Council is alleging about Arhan's conduct in this case is extensive and harsh. The petition in front of me is just peppered with the words intentional and intentionally when describing Arhan's conduct. Now, that's far worse than what the Office of Professional Responsibility found. And so Arhan is unlikely to agree to anything that's worse than what the Office of Professional Responsibility found.
They've been at this for years. Could this take years more to come to conclusion?
It's not clear. It's not clear. Certainly the Department of Justice has not acted anything but glacially here. This is part of the rebellion by federal judges, including Judge Wolf. I think those federal judges now that are looking at it, because Judge Wolf said you can't count on the Department of Justice, will be under some pressure to act more quickly than the Department of Justice did.
WBUR's David Boeri, thank you very much.
Thank you, Bob.